ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 सो द सेकंड थिंग that was requested to speak about during the rasa dance, Krishna on the full moon night of the Sharad season, the most beautiful night of the year, played on his transcendental flute, and the cowherd maidens, they heard that sound. And they immediately came to the source of that sound. It didn't matter what they were doing. They immediately stopped what they were doing and ran. Whether they were feeding children, taking care of husbands, dressing, whatever they were doing, they immediately stopped and ran. And when they arrived, Krishna was standing, looking very, very beautiful. And Krishna asked them, okay, you have seen the nice, beautiful forest, full moon. Okay, you should go home. Your husbands are expecting you. Your children, your brothers, your family members, you should return. But the gopis said, no, we do not want to go home. We want to stay with you. Put one flower here and be blessed. Very good. So there was some discussion, and Krishna at that time pointed out the supreme religious duties of a wife. Number one, take care of children. Number two, obey the husband, serve the family members. But the gopis came with a desire to dance with Krishna. And even though Krishna tested them, they passed the examination. The rasa dance began. There was one Krishna between each two gopis, but each gopi was perceiving that Krishna is dancing with her alone. And the gopis were dancing with Krishna, touching, smelling his beautiful arms. And the gopis were thinking, we are the most fortunate women in the whole universe. And Krishna detected that my devotees have become proud of their situation. So to teach them, he disappeared in the middle of the rasa dance. There was Radha and Krishna, and she led Krishna into deeper part of the forest. But she also became proud when she told Krishna, Krishna, I cannot walk anymore. You'll have to carry me. And Krishna said, yes, get on my shoulder. But as soon as she attempted, Krishna disappeared. Radharani met up with the other gopis who were searching through the forest, asking the trees, asking Tulsi, asking the animals, where is Krishna? And Radharani met the gopis and she told them her story, how Krishna had left her. They arrived at the bank of the Yamuna. They spread their shawls. They sat down and chanted their song, Gopi Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita, Shiva Gita, Gopi Gita. Those prayers, simply praying to Krishna, come, we are surrendered to you. Don't kill us. The way you have dealt with us, you are killing us. Krishna, you are a murderer. You are killing us. Come. While all this was going on, Krishna was invisible to them, but he was watching. So we pick up from that point. If you're ready to hear, turn off cell phones and hear with rapt attention. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. When Lord Krishna finally reappeared among the assembled gopis, he looked very beautiful, just befitting a person with all kinds of opulences. Krishna is always surrounded by different potencies, and therefore he is perfect and beautiful. Krishna is always surrounded by many thousands of goddesses of fortune. The gopis are all goddesses of fortune, and Krishna took them hand in hand on the bank of the Yamuna. When Krishna entered the forest on the bank of the Yamuna, the moonlight dissipated the surrounding darkness. The gopis made a seat for Krishna by leveling the soft sand and placing cloths over it. When the gopis had Krishna in their company, not only all their grief, but their lamenting in the absence of Krishna was relieved. And for those of you who have just arrived, in our first katha, we talked about how this and the pastimes of Ram are all on the absolute transcendental platform. Don't think materially. So when Ram was crying out, Sita, and Sita was crying out for Ram, don't think that's material. It's spiritual, and therefore it's also transcendental bliss, even though crying. There's no qualitative difference. Here also, the gopis were searching for Krishna, crying out, but that crying was another form of transcendental ecstasy. That is how to understand these pastimes. They gave up all their grief. They felt they had no desire to be fulfilled. With great care, they spread a sitting place for Krishna. Krishna was their life and soul, and they created a very comfortable seat for him. We should do the same thing. Where is Krishna for us besides the altar? In the heart. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati says, you should make a nice seating place for Krishna in your heart, just like the gopis. You can make your heart a nice place for Krishna to sit by removing all kinds of material desires and bad thoughts. Let Krishna live in your heart nicely. Don't disturb. Can you imagine supposing Krishna came in the door right now? What would you do? Ask yourself. What would you do if Krishna himself came to the door? Hari Bol Krishna. I wonder what you're thinking. What would you do? So make a nice place for Krishna to sit in your heart. Sitting on the seat amongst the gopis, Krishna became more beautiful. In the society of the gopis, Krishna looked very wonderful. They were the most beautiful damsels within the three worlds. and they assembled together around Krishna. Krishna was sitting by the side of each gopi, unseen by the others. Miracle. Each gopi thinks, I'm alone with Krishna. Krishna was so kind that instead of sitting in their hearts to be appreciated in yogic meditation, He seated Himself by their sides. So this is why there's no lust. And this is why you cannot accuse Krishna. Because people will do that. Your God, Krishna, He danced with others' wives. But what they don't understand, all the husbands back home was seeing his wife there. Spiritually, she was in the rasa dance. Materially, the wife was right there. Now Prabhupada makes the point. Krishna is already inside the heart of the gopis, every one of us. If he comes out, what's the problem? Instead of remaining inside, he came out. Just like everyone has their own Krishna. Every one of us, Krishna is there. You have your own, just like on an airplane, everybody has their own television. At least if you have first class. So everybody has their own Krishna. So nobody's left out. Krishna is an equal opportunity employer. Everybody has Krishna. So Krishna, instead of remaining in the gopis' hearts, came out. Wouldn't you like that, huh? What if Krishna right now came outside of you and was sitting right next to you? How nice you would behave, right? How nice you would be. You wouldn't do any nonsense in front of Krishna. But because we forget Krishna, then sometimes we do nonsense. That's all. We do nonsense because we forget. Krishna's seeing everything. Forget about Obama and the spying. Krishna knows everything you're doing. Instead of sitting in their hearts to be appreciated in yogic meditation, He seated Himself by their sides. By seating Himself outside, He showed special favor to the gopis, who were the selected beauties of all creation. Having gotten their most beloved Lord, the gopis began to please Him by moving their eyebrows and smiling, and also by suppressing their anger. Some of them took His lotus feet in their laps and massaged them. And while smiling, they confidentially expressed their suppressed anger and said, Dear Krishna, we are ordinary women of Vrindavan. We do not know much about Vedic knowledge because the gopis didn't go to school. They didn't go to UC Irvine. No. All they knew how to do was make butter. Okay, they could make some flower garlands. They could definitely cook. The gopis know how to cook, especially Radharani, the best cook of them all, blessed by Durvasa Muni. So they know simple things. They don't know algebra, chemistry, law. We have a lawyer here in our midst. Gopis are simple cowherd girls. We therefore put a question to you, and since you are very learned, you can answer it properly. So here's the question the gopis want to know. In dealings between lovers, we find that there are three classes of men. One class simply receives. Nothing, gives nothing back. Just takes, 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 takes. Another class reciprocates favorably, even if the lover is contrary. Just like Rukmini. No matter what Krishna did, Rukmini remained submissive. The other queens of Krishna, they would sometimes chastise Krishna. But Rukmini always was submissive. That's why that one time Krishna tried to incite her anger, telling Rukmini, you know what? You shouldn't marry Shishupal. I'm a vagabond. And it's not too late, even though she already had grandchildren. Krishna told Rukmini, it's not too late. You can go now and marry one of those other kings who are lusty after you. They would, and Krishna said, if you had married Shishupal, he would have been so mad after you, he would have worshipped your lotus feet. So go ahead. You can leave me. I'm no... And Rukmini, Krishna was hoping that she would get mad at him. Nope. She fainted at the thought of separation from Krishna. Krishna thought it was a joke that... No. So Krishna realized, didn't mean it like this. Rukmini was so surrendered. And the third class neither acts contrary nor answers favorably in dealings of love. So out of these three classes, which do you prefer or which do you call honest? So now Krishna is going to speak about love. This is what's so great about these Vedic scriptures. People think, why I want to read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? It must be boring. No. There's a lot of knowledge here, practical knowledge. If you read, but the thing is, who reads? Like, I just came from Santiago. Some of the people there, they don't like to read. They would rather watch the TV. I said, that's not how you understand Mahabharata and Ramayana. You have to read the book. Because the movies don't necessarily present it properly. You have to read the book. There is so much information. So now Krishna is going to respond. My dear friends, persons who simply reciprocate the loving dealings of the other party are just like merchants. They give in loving affairs as much as they get from the other party. Practically, there is no question of love. It is simply self-interested or self-centered business dealing. Even those without a tinge of loving affairs are better than these merchants. And those who come up close get the blessings. Better than this class is the second class of man who love in spite of the opposite party's contrariness. Such sincere love can be seen when the father and mother love their children in spite of their children's neglect. And that's why I always tell the children, if you want Krishna's blessings, you have to obey the parents. And I always tell the children, here is your mother, here is your best friend. Here is your father, here is your best well-wisher. And what did Krishna, after Krishna killed Kamsa, what did Krishna say? Now, after 11 years reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki, what did Krishna tell his parents? I'm very sorry that I neglected you. I apologize for not serving you. And then Krishna gives a very heavy statement. Krishna says that if a son is able to take care of the aged parents and does not do so, that person has to go to hell and eat his own flesh. So Krishna was pointing out, you must take care of the parents. Look at Ram. Simply to protect the honor of his father, gave up the kingdom and went to the forest for 14 years. Simply to protect the honor and word of his father. And all that opening scenes, time and time again, person after person is telling Ram, no, you don't have to. And they were giving all these reasons. Ram said, no, I have to protect the word of my father. No matter, even the rishis came and said, Ram, you don't have to do this, live in the forest. Ram said, no, I will execute the instruction, the request of my father. So the parents love the child despite the child's neglect. Prabhupada said, the closest thing to spiritual love is the love of the mother for the child. You now have two children. Yes? One? I thought you had two. Only, oh. Am I predicting something? For some reason, I thought you had two. Don't curse me. I'm not. You know Nihar's wife? You know Nihar's wife, right? So when I went to South Africa, before the wedding, there was a big thing at her house. So this was the first time I met Nihar's wife-to-be. So I said to her, oh, I bless you that you will have 100 children. She's like, I said, okay, as many as you like. I thought I was being cute, but she like, freak, what? I'd be careful with my blessings. So perhaps, huh? What, you want 100? Two, okay. Okay, very good. Boy? All right, there you go. Grandfather has spoken. Okay, stop the blessing. Okay. The third class neither reciprocates nor neglects. They can be further divided into two classes. One is the self-satisfied, who do not require anyone's love. They are called Atma Ram, which means that they are absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so do not care whether one loves them or not. But another class are ungrateful men, and they are called callous. The men in this group revolt against superior persons. For instance, a son, in spite of receiving all kinds of things from loving parents, may be callous and therefore not reciprocate. Those in this class are generally known as Guru Druha, which means they receive favors from their parents or the spiritual master and yet neglect them. In this, I'd like to tell you a very sad story I heard in Santiago. True story. So in Santiago, all my preaching is with Sindhi people. So they told me the story of a very, very wealthy Sindhi man. And his son, something happened. The son lost both eyes. So the father donated his eyes so the son could see. You imagine what kind of sacrifice. Now, what happens? When the son grows up, the son goes to a different place. The father now wants to come and visit his son. But the son now is so caught up in material life. He allows his father to come, but locks him in a room. The man who gave him eyes, what does he do? Locks him in a room. Guests come. The guests can figure out something. They say, no. So the father is being treated like this. So the father, after some time, arranged with other relatives, get me out of here. I'd rather be by myself than stay with this nasty person. You know, imagine how cruel. And they told me some other stories of how in Kali Yuga now, people are becoming... You know, I read in the Mahabharata, you all know who was Duryodhana, right? Duryodhana is Kali. He is the personification of the age of Kali. So now in this age of Kali, I hope you don't get Duryodhana as a son. Doesn't say anything about girls. So, I bless you that you get good sons and daughters. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. My dear friends, Krishna said, you might be aggrieved by my words and acts, but you must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. But wait a second. Kamlesh knows, Meena knows, Meenakshi knows. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. But look what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying, I sometimes do not reciprocate with my devotees. My devotees are very much attached to me, but sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to just increase their love for me more and more. There's a purpose behind what Krishna does. If I can be very easily approached, they might think, oh, Krishna is so easily available. So sometimes I do not respond. That's when you are tested. I know people like this. I worship Krishna. He let me down. I'm now going to worship Ganesh. I did your Krishna worship. He disappointed me. So they think that worshiping God is like the stock market. This devata, I am worshiping now this planet because my stock will go up. That's not devotion. That's business. And you can't do business with Krishna. Because ask Bali, what's it like to do business with Krishna? You all know Bali Maharaj? He tried to do business with Krishna. 3 steps, he lost everything. Don't do business with Krishna. Do bhakti. That's best. If a person has no money, but after some time accumulates money and then loses it, he or she will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Right? I know you don't, but there are people who play that lottery. So they have the ticket. I got the winning ticket. And they're driving and then the ticket flies out the window. Ah! They were this close. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them. But instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. Like tonight, after this program, I'll be at Radharaman Temple preaching about Kunti. Kunti is a good example. Throughout a whole life, sadness, hardship, one after the other. She lost her husband, right? Pandu, and she couldn't do the sati right. She let Madri do it. Then they're put into that house of lack. They have to go in the tunnel, live in the forest. Then finally they come back, but then they lose everything. Kunti stays with Vidura, and her sons and Draupadi are banished for 13 years. Yes? So hardship after hardship after hardship. Finally, just before the battle of Kurukshetra, she meets with her first son. Who's her first son? Karna. And reveals to Karna, I am your mother. Make peace with your brothers. Then they will let you rule. But Karna, no. He would rather be friends with Duryodhana. He blames his mother. She tried. So Kunti's life, hardship, one after the other. But did she ever leave Krishna? No, we don't see that description where she went to some astrologer And the astrologer told her, okay, you worship these different devatas. No. She remained fixed with Krishna, no matter what. My dear friends, do not think for a moment that I have been dealing with you as I do with ordinary devotees. I know what you are. You have forsaken all kinds of social and religious obligations. You have given up all connection with your family. Without caring for social convention and religious obligations, you have come to me and loved me. And I am so much obliged to you that I cannot treat you as ordinary devotees. So, that Bhagavad Gita verse is for ordinary devotees. If you're an ordinary devotee, then yes, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. But if you're extraordinary devotee, be prepared, because this is how Krishna is going to deal. He's not always going to answer your prayers so that you become more attached to Him. So you ask yourself, am I ordinary or extraordinary? Only you can answer. So please do not try to find fault with me. Because you consider me so dear to you, kindly excuse me if I have done anything wrong. I cannot repay your continuous love for me, even throughout the lifetimes of the demigods in the heavenly planets. It is not possible to repay you or show enough gratitude for your love. Therefore, please be satisfied by your own pious activities. You have displayed exemplary attraction for me, overcoming the greatest difficulties arising from family connections. Please be satisfied with your highly exemplary character, for it is not possible for me to repay my debt to you. And He's God? God cannot repay His debt to the gopis? So for the gopis, that verse of Bhagavad Gita is not in their Gita. Because Krishna is saying, like so many European governments, bankrupt, I can't repay. Here's the famous verse. Naparayehang niravadya sang yujang sosadu krityang vibudayushapiva yamabhajam duraja geha shankila Sangrishyatadva pratiyatu saduna. Please repeat, O gopis, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Lord Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Rama.